Rewriting the Past. This is Instant Inspiration. Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Rewriting the Past. We have all the privilege of forgetting. You ever forget anything? No. We have all the privilege of remembering. You ever remember anything? We have all the privilege of forgetting that we forgot. We forget that we had already forgotten something, and because we had forgotten it, we don't remember it, and we don't have it in our mind anymore. And we think, isn't that charming? Ha, 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 ha. Well, that is what it's all about. We have the privilege, by our consciousness, of not remembering things. And as far as we're concerned, they never happened. So, what is your thought about that? Not remembering things, and because then you don't remember it, it didn't happen. There's a lot of people who blank things out of their mind because they're terrible things that are hurtful to them, and they don't want that as a memory. And there's a lot of people that paint pictures in their mind of experiences that they never had. In fact, those are people are called storytellers. And they're paid very good salaries. They write good books. But aside from that, where does all this stuff go? Where does the things that didn't happen go? And where do the things that did happen but you don't remember go? Are they like a spiritual healing that they never were? They're completely erased from all annals of history? Or is it just that it's erased from our mind? Now, for instance, you want to say that you had a bad marriage. And in this bad marriage, it was very unhappy for both of you. You both were unable to give the love and the sharing that you know you wanted to do with each other. And you both made hell out of it. And so you decided, hey, that's enough. That's enough. We are not grown up enough to handle this. Let's separate. And you both agree to separate. So you go on with your life, and she goes on with her life, and the two of you don't see each other. And eventually you get a job in some city, and she gets a job in some city far apart from each other, and you don't see each other. She remarries, you remarry, and you have children, you have family, and you never think about your former spouse. It's as though they never were. Your life is not obstructed or benefited by their presence. You don't remember them. You have completely obliterated them from your mind because they were not that bad, but it's just that you couldn't get along. And so with the new marriage you have, it's ideal. You are just as happy as a tick in a rug. You're just thinking everything is wonderful. Now, all of a sudden, a little boy comes to the door and knocks on the door, not a little boy, but a man, and he said, hello. And you say, hello. And he said, I'm your son. And you say, that's most interesting. My sons are all right here. And no, Dad, I'm your son. I'm your son from your first wife. My first wife? So long ago, I hardly remember that, you know. Hadn't thought about that Jesse for a long time, you know. Yes, I'm Jesse's son, and you were my father. She said that just before you separated, you had a goodbye relationship, and there I came. My goodness, why didn't she tell me about it? Well, she had no idea where you were. And, of course, you may not have sought her out either. But, Dad, we're living in a modern age of computers. And all I had to do was just punch your name in, and up you came. In fact, there were many of you. I had to figure out which one was you. But I figured it out. How do you know? Because you're the one who had Jesse as a wife previously. And Jesse had not been married previously. And Jesse has been married to one man ever since, who I have taken as my father. And that's the way the story goes. And you say, my goodness sakes, you know. I guess you're right, you know, I've nothing, you're a fine young man, you know, I think nothing but good thoughts about you, but I'm utterly surprised. How is Jessie? Oh, she's just fine. She went on to win the Miss America contest and a few other things, Mrs. America and stuff like that, and Businesswoman of the Year for the United States, and she saved a couple of people who were in a fire, and she was awarded the boob, you know, for some great honor for having done this noble thing, and she's just been quite a lady. I mean, yeah, that's my mother. I'm real quite proud of her. Well, you should be. I mean, that sounds just great, all these things that she's done. Well, now here, resurrected, you know, out of the past, is something that would never have been resurrected if the boy hadn't come to your door and hadn't said, hey, you're my dad, and things like that. You see, we can rewrite the past, and we do rewrite it. We rewrite it by forgetting. We rewrite it by erasing it, not specifically erasing it, but just erasing it by not giving it attention in our consciousness. And you don't think about the struggle that you had learning to ride a bicycle. Today, you are a marathon rider. You're riding your bike in a marathon. Every year, you go in the marathon. But meanwhile, every Saturday, you take your bike out and you go driving it up into the hills, and you just have yourself a real good workout for about 5 or 6 hours. And then you come back, and that's your energy for the day. Well, you don't remember, you stupid, stupid person, you don't remember how your father said, you will never ride a bike. You are so all thumbs, you know. You don't have any capacity for balance. You have no capacity for anything. And your dad was right at that moment. At that moment, you had no confidence in yourself. But then one of the neighbor boys came along, and he says, you know, you are good. I can't ride a bike. No, you are good. You have such wonderful balance. And he said all the things your father said no to, and you liked the boy. And so you lived up to what he expected of you. And then next thing you know, the two of you are out riding your bikes, enjoying yourself very thoroughly. And you find that riding a bike is so energizing to you. You want to do it as much as you can. So you keep going from one bike to another, each one better and far more superior. But you had forgotten all about your father saying you could never have any balance, you'd never ride a bike. You didn't purposely forget it. You just forgot it because circumstances came along and replaced it. Now, if we say to you, don't you remember your dad told you just were a klutz on a bike? No, I don't remember. Yes, he said, you have no balance. Oh, yeah. That's funny, isn't it? Look at me now. Here I am, a riding fool, having a ball. And my dad said I couldn't. Well, sometimes we misjudge, you know. But my dad is a super guy. I mean, he said all good things about me in every other way. But I did have that appearance of being unable to ride at that age. And, yeah, that's when Jimmy next door came along. And we became good friends, and he encouraged me to ride with him. And he says, I believe in you. Come on, you know. Here, I'll even let you ride my good bike. He trusted me. I had to ride good, you know. And I rose to the bait, and I became a good rider. But I'd forgotten all about that Pop had said that about me, you know. And this is how we rewrite the past. We rewrite it consciously or unconsciously. Unconsciously is when life goes on and we just move on, whereas as a child we couldn't do things, and as an adult we could. And even changes in our marriage, changes in our relationships with our friends, changes in our jobs, and we forget it. Now, do you remember the name of the wife of your first boss? The first real job you had. Now, I do because of my mother. But otherwise, Carlton, And I'm thinking of all the names of the different bosses that I had that I call significant, you know. Like, I worked for several companies while I was in college, and that really didn't count because you never knew who their wives were, you know. They were never mentioned in the office. And then I worked at the West Dallas Star with Carol Benson, and I know he had a wife, and I know he had two sons, and I know they went to Florida one time and left me alone after I'd been there for a couple of weeks to run the whole thing myself. And I remember that his wife was a nice lady. I had taken pictures of her in the women's club and things like that. But I couldn't tell you to save my life what her first name was, but I'm sure I'd know because I put it in the cut lines, so I must know. But you see, you forgot. So you never knew it. Now, you say, well, the name of Mrs. Benson was in that article. You took the picture and you wrote down the names, or and you made sure you spelled her first name right, you know, and her last name. And so you did know it. But for the life of you, you can't remember it. You can. It's here, you know, because everything is there. But it's as though it's as though you never knew it. Now, there are millions of things in our life that are like that, billions perhaps, that we don't want to not remember, and we just don't want to remember. Either way, we had no interest in it. It just was part of the game of life that went through our mind. Now, when we say that we want to rewrite the past, we could take that same abandon that we did for life as we lived it and go away. Now, what is the quickest way to rewrite the past? Now, I'm not asking you, the question is just rhetorical, but what is the quickest way to rewrite the past? That which you don't think about atrophies. It just sort of dissolves in your mind and you no longer think about it. That which you no longer think about, you no longer have it there. That which you no longer think about atrophies. It just becomes nothing in your mind. And it goes away. And every time it comes up, if it's something you don't want to think about, you just change the subject right away. You change it right away. If red is a color that does not please you, and it is a very bad color in your consciousness, every time you see the color red, you rename it. You rename it. And you say, that's turquoise, you know. Or something else like that. Give it a different flavor. And it's not the red fire engine red, it's the turquoise. Or it's some other color. You rename it. And so whenever you see a color now, you think of turquoise. You don't think of red. And little by little, the color red as a color just is not mentioned in your world. It's not in your environment. You're rewriting the past. You're rewriting everything that you have ever thought about red. Now, that's just one illustration, but you're rewriting everything you have ever dreamed about as red, and then it goes away. So, we want to rewrite our past. Not all of our past. Our past basically is good, because we are good people. And but you have something in your past. Now, for instance, Ellen was married and divorced. Now, the married part was just fine. She was happy with that. And the divorced part was just fine. She's happy with that. But the married-divorced part, she doesn't like that part. So you don't think of the married-divorced part. When you think of being married, you think of being married. When you think of being divorced, you think of being divorced. You don't put the two together. The minute you put the two together, you come up with the unhappiness about it. And see, it's the bridge that doesn't have to be there. Now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Give me a drink, please. It doesn't matter. But the thing is, what you want to do is to put a cause in motion for a perfect relationship between yourself and your husband, and between yourself and the change. And just a minute. So, we want to have a happy marriage, and we want to have a happy divorce. But we don't want to have a marriage divorce. Mm-hmm. And it's the time between the two that we want to forget. Mm-hmm. The marriage is not bad. The divorce is not bad. But the time between the two is the time that has no purpose. So that we just forget. We don't say, I categorically forget all about my husband. I categorically forget all about my wife. We don't say that. We say, I categorically remember all the lovely things in my marriage, all the lovely things in our separated time, you know. But the time of the separation, that's always a little unhappy because you don't really want to separate and you don't really want to stay together. You want to do your own thing. And being married is not convenient to do it. So you do this. But of course, in the process, you have other little things that come up. I promise to marry you and stay with you for till death do us part. My goodness sakes. Somebody really wrote that good, didn't they? Perhaps that's why in Peru, in Brazil and Peru, they'd like to kill their wives when they are done having a happy marriage. The wife should really run away. But that's an unhappy thing to have in any culture. So let's just take the Cameroon now. The Cameroon has that as part of their cultural tradition. So let's just say, right now, the Cameroon respects marriages and respects man and woman in marriage equally. Mm-hmm. The Cameroon respects marriages and respects man and woman in marriages equally. And then we write a book about it. How the Cameroon is such a wonderful country that respects marriages and respects man and woman equally and respects the... And we go through all these great experiences and write about it and we talk about it and we publish these books. And then the people in Cameroon read these books and say, oh, is that what it is? You know? And so they start bringing that forth in their life, in their experience. And pretty soon they change their laws. They change their laws in the countryside, and pretty soon it's as though it had never been different. It had never been different. Do you realize that in Africa, not too many years ago, they didn't have a democratic government. They had tribes that would be at war with each other, and they lived no further than a mile apart. And they would be at war with each other. And they would shoot each other and kill each other. And there was no rules, that is, there was no government around which would keep that from happening. And then, because of new laws coming in, new countries coming in, new countries taking over and bringing their culture into it, the old ways were disposed of. To a degree. But now that, for instance, Nigeria has been given its freedom again to be a separate country, it went back to its tribalism. It went back to its tribal government and to the tribal chiefs and all of these people, which are very fascinating. But the thing is, what it had forgotten for a long period of time was just sort of put on the back burner, and now it's brought to the front burner. Now, are they going to revert the entire country back to its tribal status? Or are they going to keep moving forward in their democratic program to benefit all people and treat all people with equal rights, you know? Well, that's up to you. That's up to you. What kind of Cameroon do you know? What kind of Cameroon do you believe in? What is your remembrances of the Cameroon? Do you think the Cameroon is a wonderful country? Do you think Nigeria is a wonderful country? Do you think that, well, look at America. It was run by Indians before the Europeans came over and took over. And the Indians were doing a perfectly good job. They were fighting between themselves whenever they chose to, for whatever reasons. But they didn't fight as much as we think they fought. Because they weren't that interested. The only time they had a fight was when somebody disagreed with something, you know. Or when somebody wanted a daughter of another tribe or something, and the other tribe wasn't interested in letting the girl go. But these are all changing cultural mores, changing cultural patterns. And after a while, you forget about them. You don't even remember that they were there. You don't even remember that these things were there at all. And we have our Indian tribe down here in San Diego, and they own the health center, and they have it on their Indian ground. And they gave the federal government a long lease, like 99 or 100 years or 200 years or whatever, to have the health center there. And now, because the health center is in a very desirable location, it would make a very, very good casino location. And so the part of the tribe that are interested in the casino want to move the health center to the back, not destroy it or anything, but just move it to the back and put the casino up front where it would have a little bit of show. And the old tribal people say, no, 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 it's got to stay up front there because then it's accessible and what have you. And the new tribal people say, but look at the money we could make off of it if we would move it to the back and put the casino to the front. Well, now, you see, they're trying to use the old tribal rules to stay, to get what they want. But all I imagine that the tribal group would have to do is say, okay, we will give 10% of our earnings from the casino to the health center so that, you know, it'll have all this and all that and that. I bet you they would probably change their mind. But I probably, at the moment, none of the money goes to the health center from the casino. But you see, it's just these simple little things. And if they did that, all their uptightness, all their anger, all their upsetness would be lost. They're rewriting the past. And you rewrite the past by, here's $50. Now, forget that you ever saw me. You know? Here's $1,000. Forget that I ever walked through here. You know, don't turn me into the authorities for having done something bad. You follow me? Here's $100. Forget that you ever saw me, you know. I can't do that. Bang. You know? You see, it's in your best interest to forget. But you feel that if you're asked, you have to say. And, of course, then you will be asked because you think it's in your best interest to be asked. And then they give you some money to forget it, and you don't want to take it. And then it's in their best interest not to be remembered. But, you see, those are ways of forgetting things. You say, they're kind of silly, Herb. No, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. We all remember incidences that happened in our childhood. Remember incidents that happened in our youth, incidents that happened in our marriages, and incidents that happened in our jobs and in many places. And then, but do you remember every incident? No. You only remember some because they were interesting or traumatic or whatever, but you don't remember everything. You don't remember everything. There was a man, he was telling a story about positive thinking and how this should be used by people in their communities. And he said recognition should be given to people at the time that it's called for, and so they can appreciate it. Well, there was an Air Force captain. He had come back from his flights and so forth and done very well. And the general had him given a special cup, which every Air Force captain gets when he has done so many flights. And so the Air Force captain was given the cup. Hey, Jim, come on up here and get your cup, you know. Here you are. Well, congratulations. And he went to his seat. And the general, who happened to have an insight, he said, Jim, come up here. He said, we shouldn't just give you this cup like this. We should tell you that we're very proud of you. We're very proud of the flights that you have made, because it was a number that meant something. We're proud of the flights that you've made. But Jim, you know what we're most proud of, among other things? The fact that you were out there flying missions while your wife was pregnant and having your baby, and you weren't able to be here with her while she was having her baby, and we know how much that meant to you. So let this cup be an expression of our grateful thanks for you serving and being there and not being with your wife. And tell your wife how much we appreciate her, you know, having you be with your job, you know, when she was having the baby. That was really something. And the guy says, you know, I never forgot that. I probably would have forgotten it if he just gave me the cup for no good reason, you know, just because I flew the flights. But when he said, in appreciation and respect of your wife and your child, boom, he'll never forget that. He'll never forget that. And you see, those are things that become indelible. But then the day will come when his son will receive some great award. And then his father will forget that little token there and will turn his attention to his son's new award that he gets now. We can rewrite the past. And we rewrite the past by forgetting, by letting it go, by not concentrating on it. And it doesn't matter what the past may be, we can turn our attention from it and not let it touch us. And if you're ready for that, then you're ready for rewriting the past. So think about these things, and if they have any value to you, go for them, because they are exciting. So have a wonderful day, and I love you very much.
Thank you.